title of my message this afternoon is God's Plan. If you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. This is Paul's letter to the believers in Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, there have been many books on the market now on how to achieve greatness, how to reach your goals using your intellect and using your own strength. However, I believe that's not what God has called us to do. You see, God has a plan for each and every one of us. Let me repeat myself again. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And to summarize His plan in one sentence, His plan is that we live a life worthy of the gospel. Amen. His plan is that we live a life worthy of the gospel. You know, and I want to emphasize on this, you know, each and every one of us, we are called firstly to be in a relationship with Him. See, every time we mention the word calling, it's always sometimes emphasized on the aspects of working for Him rather than being in a relationship with Him. So I want to emphasize this important truth that firstly God has called each and every one of us to be in a relationship with Him. All right, and secondly, He has called us to carry His message to all nations. Amen? To all nations. And I spoke on this a few weeks ago about whatever the call God has placed in each and every one of His lives. You see, you can do only what you can do. I can't do that. Your calling might be to serve God's people through teas and coffees, which Steve emphasized on Wednesday. You know, each and every one of us, we have our own calling and we have our own giftings. See, your calling might be that God has called you to proclaim the gospel verbally, vocally, whatever it is, you know. But each and every one of us, we all have different callings, but one same mission and one same message, representing one God. Amen. Each and every one of us, we're called into one mission. And that great commission is to go out and to proclaim God's truth. Okay? And what is His message? His message is that He is the God, one and only God. And He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on a cross for each and every one of us. And because of that sacrifice and because of the resurrection, we have this wonderful gift, salvation. Amen. Salvation. Each and every one of us, we're not saved, or we didn't receive this freedom because of our own doing, but we received this freedom because of what Jesus did for each and every one of us. And that is the message we carry. And we worship one true living God. Yeah. Amen. One true living God. See, we are called to walk in God's plan. So how do we walk in God's plan? How do we walk in God's plan? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. Here Paul writes, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." You see, Paul knows the calling he has received, and now he wants the believers to understand the calling which they have received. You see, Paul here is trying to help them understand that they were called. They were a called community. They were a called out people to represent and show the love of God in their local surroundings. So Paul emphasizes here, listen, you are called to live a life worthy of the calling. Amen. See, it's a wonderful feeling and wonderful truth to know that each and every one of us, we're called, we are loved. But at the same time, there's a responsibility there. Yeah. Amen. There's a responsibility there. And my first point is this: how do we walk in God's plan? My first point, being a living example. Being a living example. See, how do we walk in God's plan? By being a living example. You see, the church represents Jesus to the world. We are the body of Christ, which means we are Jesus Christ's physical presence in the earth today. You know, there are two reasons why people don't follow Jesus. There are two reasons why people don't attend church. First reason is because the followers of Jesus Christ have not told them about Jesus. They are too shy to share their faith with others. You know, there are secret followers of Jesus Christ. That's one reason why the world still don't know who Jesus is. And the second reason is because they have met Christians. The reason why people don't want to know Jesus, the second reason is because they have met Christians. Because their actions does not match up with the truth. You know, they profess to be followers of Jesus Christ, but they have no control of their words. They have no control over their actions. And that's what Paul emphasizes here. Listen. Listen, believers. You are there for a reason. You are there to represent the love of God. You are called there for a reason. You have been placed there for a reason. And the message of the Lord, I believe, for each and every one of us is the same. We have been placed here for a reason. Amen. Amen. This is no coincidence that God has brought each and every one of us in this same place, in the same building. Yeah. See, it's no coincidence that God gave Pastor Andrew and Grace a prophetic word some time ago that they had a building waiting for them. See, this was all preordained by the Lord. See, everything that we're seeing right now, God knew that it was going to happen. See, before even you made that decision of actually attending Harvestville Church, God knew that you were going to attend Harvestville Church. Before even you made that decision of actually coming to church this afternoon, God knew that you were going to come to church this afternoon. Amen. See, before even you plan it, before even you think it, God already knows. God already knows. You know, and sadly, we as followers of Jesus Christ, we level up our understanding of salvation on the basis of what we do rather than on what has been done for us. You see, our salvation is not based upon what we have done or what we have achieved. See, the fact each and every one of us were able to love one another is not because of the love we have in us. It's because of the love Jesus placed in us that we're able to love the unlovable. We're able to forgive the unforgivable. You see, it's hard to forgive people. But when we surrender it all to Jesus, forgiving people becomes less harder. But it's a journey. See, loving people can sometimes be tough. It's easy to love the lovables, but it's hard to love the unlovables. You know, who are very rough on the outside, rough on the edges, but inside they're crying out for love. See, all these hard coverings that we have around us is our coping mechanism of how we cope with the world and also how we cope with people around us. See, it's a big shield that we have around us. And I firmly believe until and unless we give God the permission to break those shields around us, God cannot do the work that He wants to do in your life. Yeah. You see, He wants to. And can I just say, sometimes if we're too stubborn, when I read Acts chapter 9, God will sometimes do the unthinkable, like what He did to Saul, who later on became Paul. You see, he was very stubborn in his thinking. He was very stubborn in his ideas. He was very stubborn in his culture. He was very protective of his culture. He was very protective of the scriptures that he was holding on to. So God had to do something very unthinkable in his life. He wasn't thinking about it. He wasn't expecting it. But the unexpectable happened to him. And he was blinded on his way to Damascus. You see, he was blinded on his way to Damascus. And so it happened. There was a man of God waiting in Damascus, praying and seeking God. And I thank the Lord for praying people. Amen. I thank the Lord for praying warriors. See, there was someone standing in the gap. There was someone seeking the Lord and saying, Lord, I am making myself available. There was hundreds of believers in that place, but God made his plan known to one single person. His name was Ananias. God made his plan known to this follower of Jesus, Ananias, and God spoke to him. See, reading the text, we know there was a bit of hesitancy with him, because he thought, God, he's here to kill us and you want me to go and pray for this person. See, Saul was on his way to Damascus to persecute all the followers of Jesus Christ in this place. But yet God wanted Ananias to go and meet with him to pray for him. The very person Ananias was saying, no, I don't want to see him. I don't want anything to do with him. God said to him, now you go and you pray for him. And maybe that's the same challenge for each and every one of us. The very person we've been trying to push away. The very person who's been getting on our nerves. Maybe that's the very person today God has placed in your heart to pray for. The person that you have been trying to push away for so long, who might have hurt you, who might have done wrong to you. Maybe that is the very person God wants you to forgive today. Maybe that is the very person God wants you to pray for today. See, Ananias, he was there. Then he went and he prayed for Paul. Only the love of Jesus allowed him and gave him the strength to do that. And likewise, in our case, only the love of Jesus, only the presence of Jesus, only the strength of Jesus will give us the ability to do so. See, God wants each and every one of us, according to His Scripture, to live a life worthy of the gospel, to live a life being an example. See, we are representing Christ everywhere we go. And there were areas in our life, perhaps, where we need to work on. And there might be loads of areas, but as I was preparing this message, God gave me three things under this thing of being a living example. And as I was preparing, God highlighted that perhaps, you know, when we think about living a life worthy of the gospel, living and being an example, we have to focus and rethink about what sort of stuff we say. See, words have power. Words have power. Words are powerful. I know many people who are still living with the lie that was spoken to them when they were a child. You know? Somebody might have said something to you when you were a little kid. And maybe you are still holding on to that label, even to this very day. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 24 says this. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 24, if you're taking notes. Gracious words are a honeycomb. Who loves honey? I know Pastor Andrew loves honey. I love honey too. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. Oh man. I love coming to church because, you know, I'm the first one to say this, right? I don't always have one of them, hey, everything's all right, everything's great type of days, you know. There are days where I genuinely struggle. There are days where I like really struggle with everything, you know. And even though I don't, like to be that way, it's just the way it is, you know. And it just hovers around me, you know. And I praise God for the men of God and the women of God in this place at Harvest Fields. Every time I place myself in their circle, I feel so energetic. I feel so refreshed. Amen. You know, when I come here like early Monday mornings and Tuesdays, and whenever we're here to work together as a team to kind of complete the project which we've started, you know, I love the fact that everyone asks one another before even we do anything. Brother, are you all right? How are you today? You know, and those words are very comforting, aren't they? You know, because that shows that, hey, they're here for me. And if I'm having a bad day, if there's something wrong with me, I can be vulnerable to them and I can open myself to them. And I know that they are going to speak life into me. You know, I, honestly, when I look back, I can't recall any sort of time where negativity has been spoken over me while my time here. I honestly can't remember. And because the reason I can't remember is because there hasn't been any. You know, and I praise God for His people. Amen. I praise God for the truth. Like He says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Wow. Sweet to the soul. The Word of God is sweet to your soul. The Word of God is healing to your bones. See, that's the Word of God. And honestly, it's just what I surround myself with godly people that God has blessed us with in this place. I feel so refreshed. And that's one area where I think each and every one of us can focus on. Speech. Absolutely, speech. What sort of stuff are we speaking in one another's life? See, what sort of stuff are we saying about one another? Whenever I go elsewhere and whenever people ask me about the church, I'm always saying, listen, I love the church. I love Harvest Fields. I love the leaders there. You know, I'm always speaking life because people don't know the church. And if an unchurched person asks you about the church and the only explanation you can give to them is negative explanation, there you go, you've represented Jesus to them. But if you make that decision of, do you know what? When people ask me about church and Jesus, I'm going to give them life. You see, my neighbor, like, he sees me like wearing a suit jacket and that. He knows I'm about to go to church and he asks me all the time. He's like, oh, are you off to church? I said, yeah, I love the church. You know, I love the Church of Jesus Christ. And he was saying, oh, you know, yeah. So and he was asking me questions. So that gave me an opportunity to explain more to him about who Jesus is. You know, but that conversation started because he saw me going to church. He was like, oh, why are you dressed like that? Oh, I'm going to church. Where are you going? I'm going to church. You know? So before even we say anything, you know, our whole appearance kind of paints the picture and also speaks in 1,000 words to people around us. Speech is very, very, we have to speak life. And let's be intentional about what we say. You know, it says in James, isn't it? Like, let's think twice before even we say anything, because our tongue is just, it's everywhere sometimes. And that's why we have to be very careful what sort of stuff we say to people around us, because we are representatives of Jesus. We are His ambassadors. Amen. We are His ambassadors, preaching the word through our actions. And secondly, I believe we have to live a life of integrity. We have to live a life of integrity. Sadly, I've seen a lot of, I've seen a lot of followers of Jesus Christ, you know, and it's just, they're thieves. Honestly, they are. You know, they put up this front, and the Bible is very clear. The Bible says they're wolves wearing sheep clothing. You know, and we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful in terms of who we listen to. We have to be very careful in terms of what sort of stuff we're watching. I've seen a lot of people being victimized through televangelists. You know, and there's no accountability there. Me and Pastor Andrew, we were talking about this last week, and actually we talk about this all the time, you know, about how people are, the followers of Jesus Christ, how they're becoming so gullible and so vulnerable that they're easily given to everything. And the reason why it's happening is because of lack of sound doctrine.
Amen.
And lack of teaching of the Word of God. The reason people are giving into all this sort of polluted gospel is because there is no sound doctrine in them. And I want to encourage each and every one of us, church, let's keep ourselves accountable.
Yeah.
Please keep yourself accountable. I need to say that to myself all the time. Daniel, please keep yourself accountable. If something happens to you, please keep yourself accountable. Because when you're watching telly and when they're asking for big donations of seed, you know, like you plant that seed, where's that going to? Honestly, I've heard loads and loads of stories of how people plowed, you know, they donated thousands and thousands of pounds and thinking that they were going to get thousands of pounds in return. I'm not doubting that principle. I firmly believe whatever you sow, you will reap. I believe that. Do you know, I believe God sees your heart when you sow, and I believe that. But at the same time, I believe that we don't sow to receive. We sow to bless.
Amen?
Amen? We sow to bless. And that's what we're going to do later on during our services. Well, we're sowing into Romania because we want to bless the people in Romania. We don't want anything in return. But God sees that, and God still chooses to bless us. Amen? But we sow because we want to bless the people. We don't sow because we're expecting. No. We sow because we want to bless, and because God sees our heart, He blesses us. Amen. He blesses us. And that's why it's very important for us to live a life of integrity. See, I want to live a life where I'm the same on the platform. I'm the same around other people. I'm the same in supermarket. I'm the same with my friends. I'm the same at home. I want to live a life of integrity. Same wherever, in spite of whatever the context. See, and each and every one of us, I believe God has called us to live that life. Not two-faced life, no. God wants us to live a life of integrity so that people, they look at you and they see, do you know what? Ian is a man of integrity.
Amen.
Do you know what? Tracy is a woman of integrity.
Amen.
You know, Louise is a woman of integrity. Where people see that about you and where they can trust you. That's what Paul is encouraging the church. Listen, live a life worthy of the gospel. Live a life worthy of the gospel. Because believe it or not, it was happening then as well. People were using the gospel for their own self-gain. It was happening then, and sadly still happening today. That's what we have to be very guarding in terms of where we give ourselves to. Okay, where we give ourselves to. We have to be accountable. And can I say this? Let's be accountable to the local church. Amen. Let's be accountable to the local church, not television, because you know that person behind the telly does not know your life.
No.
You have to plant yourself in a local church. That's the only way we flourish. Because you know, when we plant ourselves in a local church, the leaders, the water, the plant, Holy Spirit gives the sun. Amen. And it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful surrounding. Church is a reflection of Christ. Church is a reflection of Christ. And, you know, when people talk to me about their love for Christ and their hate for church, I say to myself, hold on a second. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Because Christ is church. Christ loves His church. Each and every one of us, we are church.
Yeah.
You know, and when someone talks negativity to me about church, this church, I'm like, stop. Church, God loves His church. Yes, we're not perfect, but God loves His church. Amen. Each and every one of us, we are His church.
Yeah.
We are His church. And we're here to represent and reflect the love of Christ around us. And we are committed to Christ. We are committed to His church. And we are committed to His commission.
Amen.
Amen. Three C's there for you. Christ, church, and commission.
Yeah.
Amen. So that's the first thing. Being a living example. And how can we be a living example? by watching our speech and at the same time living a life of integrity, and thirdly, showing our commitment to Jesus Christ and His church. Amen. And secondly, how can we walk in God's plan? How do we walk in God's plan? By walking as a new creation. Walking as a new creation. Ephesians chapter 4 again, verse 25 to 29. Chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 29. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Amen. Let me say that again. Each of you must put off falsehood. In other words, must take off their mask and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. I'm going to talk about that more later on. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You see, anger and all that sort of stuff. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, okay? As I said earlier on, but only what is helpful, amen? Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You see, when we're speaking the truth, we're making a difference in people's lives. We're making a difference in people's world. You see, this passage of scripture teaches us that we, when we walk as new creations, there are some things we must take off. When we are walking as new creations, there are some things we must take off. And firstly, it says, no more lying, amen? No more lying. See, the body of Christ should be truth declarers, should be standing for the truth, should be living for the truth. And that's why Paul emphasizes here, listen, no more lying. Once you used to lie, but now no more lying. Paul tells him, speak the truth, stand for the truth, live for the truth. Amen. Three things. Speak the truth. We are called to speak the truth. No more lying. That's it. You might have lied yesterday. Let's close that chapter. Boom. Today's a new day. We stand for the truth. Amen. No more lying, church. No more lying. Church should be known for declaring the truth and speaking the truth. We're not here to flatter people. We're here to speak the truth. Flattery does not change people's lives. Truth does. And truth sometimes, most of the time, is challenging. And truth, most of the time, is very hard to listen to. But truth is the thing that changes us. Amen? Tough love is what's needed in the church. Tough love is what's needed in the world. No more flattery, no more lying. Let's speak the truth. And secondly, stand for the truth. No more compromises. A lot of compromising has been going around in today's world. And because of a lot of compromising, it's just people don't know what's truth and what's not. No more compromising. Jesus did not compromise with you. When he was on that cross, he didn't say, oh, I'm having second thoughts now. He didn't say that. He was ready. And in his heart, in his mind, he was thinking about you. Yeah. Oh, Steve. This is for Steve. This is for Daniel. This is for Andrew. This is for Grace. This is for Vida. This is for David. You know, this is for Ava. He was thinking about us. This is for Alicia. On that cross, he wasn't thinking about himself. Oh, if I die for them, they're going to start following me. No, he didn't think like that. He died for us. For us. There was no self-motive there. Everything was for us. And he resurrected. Not to show the world, listen, no. It kind of like, well, you can say, but he did that for each and every one of us. He's resurrected for us. He died on that cross. He came for us. He died for us. you resurrected for us. So that we may live for Him and understand His love. So speak the truth. Stand for the truth. Church, let's stand for the truth. You know, there's, like we saw on Messenger page yesterday, didn't we, about abortion. Pastor Andy posted it, you know, and I went there and I filled my details and boom, I did it. You know, and all these sort of stuff happening out there because the church has remained silent for so long. It's time for us to speak. It's time for us to stand. If church is not going to stand for the world, I don't know who's going to stand for the world. We have to stand declaring the word to the world.
Amen.
And help them understand, you know, that Jesus is the answer.
Yes.
Jesus is the only answer. Yes. And I was just recently watching this clip on YouTube, and this lady, Oprah, she does loads of interviews in America, and she was interviewing one of the preachers, you know, and as she was interviewing this preacher, she asked him this question. So, are you saying Jesus is the only way to heaven? And the preacher, he paused. And he's trying to, you know, kind of like simplify it and kind of like mix it here and there. Rather than saying, yes, Jesus is the only way to heaven, he was sort of like, and this leader is a very prominent leader. You know, you see him on the telly in that. He's a well-known leader, you know, but when he was asked that question and his conclusion was, Jesus, yeah, but there are other ways. And I'm thinking, what? And Oprah sort of saying, oh, you know, I believe the same. There are other ways to heaven. And she's sort of like trying to argue, saying, what if a person lived his life doing all the charity works and all the good things and making a difference in the community? Are you saying that that person will end up in hell?
Yeah.
Sadly. Because Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And we have a responsibility to let the people around us know that Jesus loves them and Jesus is the only way to heaven. So live for the truth. Live for the truth. No more lying under that. Speak the truth, church. Speak the truth. Amen. Let's speak the truth. Even though it's going to be tough, because I can almost see it. Next few years' time, you know, it's going to be a real challenge for the church. But and that's why we have to prepare ourselves. It's not going to be an easy ride. You know, we've seen a lot change this last month, you know, and even this last year of me following Jesus, I've seen a lot of changes taking place. And those of you who have been following Jesus for more than me, you've seen a lot.
Yeah.
And let me say this just to prepare us, there are going to be more challenges. There are going to be more challenges. And we have to prepare ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's a very tough message, but that's the truth. We have to prepare ourselves because a time is coming where the church will face heavy persecution. And persecution might not look like grabbing and imprisoning people, although it is happening. Persecution is people will rise against the church and will want the church to stop proclaiming the truth and will force the church to preach the message that will suit their lifestyle. And a time of compromising. And sadly, a lot of churches have already given into that.
Yeah.
But us as Harvest Hill Church, I pray that we will stand for the truth. Amen. We will stand for the truth. You know, all these years of faithfulness of Pastor Andrew and Grace, you know, they didn't labor in vain. And for each and every one of us, we're here, church. And we are not here worshiping in vain. We are here because we know that God is a miracle working, all awesome, all powerful God, and He has got a plan for each and every one of our lives. I know that. Church, let's stand for the truth. Let's live for the truth. Let's speak the truth. Let's speak the truth. Let's not shy away. Let's not Continue with the lies. Secondly, Paul says there, no more sinning in anger. No more sinning in anger. See, we have to master controlling our anger rather than our anger controlling us. We have to learn to master how to control our anger rather than our anger controlling us. Can I say this? Being angry is not a bad thing. But the scripture says, be angry about the right things. You know, I'm angry about how compromising the world has become. I'm angry in a sense of how all these leaders, you know, I've read about and I used to look up to, they're compromised with all of these things. When you hear the messages, like, you don't hear anything wrong, but when you actually dig deep, you're like, hold on a second, what? They're doing that in the church? They're doing this in the church? Church, we are God's holy people. We are God's holy people. You see, although we might have a lot of, you know, different ideas of what holiness looks like, the Bible is very clear, we are God's holy people. You know, and the Bible means what it wants to mean. Holy. Holy means separating from the world. There is no other definition to it. You know, the contemporary world, the modern world, has tried to water down that definition, saying the holy means this and that, and trying to compromise in different areas, but holiness means being separated from the world. Although we are in the world, we are not of the world. We are in the world to change the world. Amen. We are in the world to transform the world. We are in the world to help the world. And I'm not in any way saying we are perfect, but we are in the world to transform and change the world. And thank God, we don't do that. Jesus does it through us. He does it through us. Let's not let our anger cause us to sin. I've seen many good people. I mean, Pastor, you've seen it as well. I've seen many good people fall because they've acted in anger. Angry about a lot of things and you know, because they're angry about the surroundings and they take it to God and now they're angry with God. And now, because they're angry with God, they leave everything and they turn away from God. That's what it means, in your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not turn away from God. In your anger, do not do what's not right. Yeah. In your anger, do not go back to your vomit. No. That's what he's saying. Peter did it. He wasn't angry with Jesus, he was angry with himself. I said to Jesus, I'm going to follow him. I said to Jesus, I'm not going to deny him. But now I've done that. I'm so angry at myself. Boom. Left it all and he went back to his business, fishing. In your anger, do not sin. The scripture reminds us. And thirdly, no more corrupt communication. No more corrupt communication. Gossips. You know, I want to encourage every one of us, let's turn deaf ears to gossip and only incline our ears to wisdom. Amen. Let's turn deaf ears to gossip and only incline our ears to wisdom. You know, we looked at mastering the art of overcoming anger, and the Bible also tells us we have to master the way of listening as well. In other words, choosing what we want to listen and what we don't want to listen. See, no one can make you do what you don't want to do. Okay? You give that person the permission to speak whatever they speak in your life. See, I can be amongst groups, and although they may speak all the negativity they want, but I'm still in control of what goes in me and what doesn't go in me. Amen? And that is the case for each and every one of us as well. You're in control. You see, whenever a negativity try invade your soul, you are in control. You have that control of what you letting in your soul and what you're not letting in. We have to learn to filter through the voices. You see, and the way we do that is firstly, always listening to the word. And secondly, how we can do that is by ignoring. We have to learn to ignore. And can I say this, ignoring is not necessarily a bad thing. Although in British culture, ignoring is a very rude thing to do. But ignoring is not necessarily a bad thing to do. You see, when someone's constantly speaking negativity, you know, I can just walk away and not feel bad about it. You see, and can I say this? You can do the same. You can do the same. We have to learn to filter through the voices. And for each and every one of us, God has given us the capacity and the ability to do so. James makes it very clear. You know, James says, listen, whatever comes your way, firstly, learn to filter those events, then learn to see them as an opportunity to grow. He says, rejoice when all these old things come your way. You know, because what they do, because they create perseverance. Not only that, but because they mature you as a follower of Jesus Christ. Over the years, I have experienced a lot of events in my own life. And when I look back now, some of the events I didn't deal with very maturely. But some of the events, even though I might have thought that I was a bit rude then, looking back now, probably that rude action of mine was actually the wise action of mine. Because some of the people I've had to completely cut off my life. And they were my friends. And although, you know, at that time they might have thought, oh, you know, look at Daniel. You become all holy, holy, this and the other. But I cut them off completely. You know, and do I speak to them? Yes, I still speak to them. But I had to make sure where I was spending most of my time. With them in the negative circle or with God's people in positive, encouraging, holy, godly circle. I had to make that decision. See, although my agenda was I was there to change and transform their life, I was spending more time in that circle rather than in the circle of people who were speaking life in me. Yes. See, we have to try level it out. You see, sometimes we spend 70% of our time trying to help people and only spend 30% of our time receiving the truth. It should be the opposite way around. Amen. It should be the opposite way around. We should be spending 70% in the Word of God and in godly counsel and 30% in the world, helping the world. Because we need to understand this. We are not Jesus. He gives us the power. He gives us the ability to speak the truth. But I am not God. Jesus is the Son of God. You see, so every time, whenever I'm speaking the truth, my emphasis should always be Jesus. Amen. And for each and every one of us, I want to encourage this. And I want to leave this point with this one statement. Be very intentional about where you spend your time. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Be very intentional about where you spend most of your time. Church, we have this English, we have English class as well, yes, that's for the people in community, but we have this great opportunity. We are starting Bible College here at Harvestville Church, and we are so excited, you know, to be able to run different courses. And I want to say this, it's a beautiful and wonderful opportunity for those of us who've just started our journey, and for those of us who've been running this journey for a while, it'll be good for you too. Because we can learn new things every day. And it'll be a beautiful time and a great opportunity for us to learn new things and learn godly things. And also put that in our diary and make that one of our routines.
Yeah.
You know, see, because we have to create this routine for us to cut some of the old cycles, old habits. We have to create new routine and new habits. And the reason, and one of the ways we can do that is by implementing new routines and new habits. And Bible class is a great opportunity to do so. David's going to speak on that more later when he announces the announcements. But put that in your diary. A great opportunity for us to receive from the Word of God. Amen. And lastly, so we looked at how do we walk in God's plan? By being a living example. Second thing we looked at, by walking as a new creation. And thirdly, my last one, walking in hugs. Hugs. I know David loves to hug people. He's a hugger. He's a hugger, you know. First thing, every time I come in mornings and I suppose we can all testify on this. First thing David does is, how are you, brother? And he gives you a big hug. David's a hugger, amen. And my last point is this, walking in hugs. Not that sort of hugs, but I'm going to explain it to you what hugs is. Hugs. H-U-G-S. Hugs. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. My final point. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Steve spoke on this last Wednesday, and it was great, you know. And so thank you for that, brother, for sharing those thoughts. But continuing on this, it says, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. You see, unity does not just happen straight away. The Bible makes it clear, make every effort. Amen. So there's our responsibility there. We have to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Amen. Unity and peace, they work hand in hand together. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father to all. See, one God, the Bible is very clear. One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. And Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He's over all, He is through all, He is in all. Amen. So coming back to hugs, H-U-G-S, hugs. H stands for humility. Humility. Walking in humility. You see, Andrew Murray, he said this, humility is nothing but the disappearance of self in the vision that God is all. Let me say that again. Humility is nothing but the disappearance of self in the vision that God is all. So when we walk in humility, we disappear. We disappear. And then God becomes all. So everything that we do becomes about God. See, humility puts others before self. Yeah. Humility always sees the best in others. And when they are, even when they are at their worst. You know, and I think I can talk on this. You know, there have been days where, you know, I've not been the best of best. And I want to thank you, Andrew, Grace, and all the leadership here for never criticizing my actions, but always seeing the best in me. You know, and I really appreciate that. And that's what I think, that is what God has called each and every one of us to do. You know, we have to see one another, and we have to understand that we are not finished products. No. We are not finished article. God is still writing our story. God is still writing our article. You know, and when we begin to see ourselves as that, all of a sudden, I think there comes this mutual understanding and this love for one another. And I believe when we understand that, it produces a beautiful harmony and unity in the body of Christ. See, my hand understands that my leg cannot do hand's work. See, my mouth understands that my mouth cannot see. Only my eyes can see. But because they understand one another, there's this mutual understanding going in my body, which allows me to function on a daily basis. And that is the same for each and every one of us as well. Which brings me to my second point. H stands for humility. U stands for unity. Unity. Team. T-E-A-M. Together everyone achieves more. Together, everyone achieves more. Appreciating diversity while honoring our common need for Christ. See, we are a diverse group of people. Different age, different body shapes, different backgrounds, you know, and but we have one thing in common, our love for Jesus Christ. You see, and because of that, it kind of binds us together, because we believe the best in one another, and we work through conflicts, and we always seek peace and reconciliation. See, that is so important in the body of the church. We have to always work through our conflicts. You see, my sort of habits, my sort of hobbies might not be same as David's. See, my way of doing things might not be same as David's. And David's way of doing things is different to my way of doing things. But we work through it, and we work through it, and we bring reconciliation in our work effort. And that's where he says, make every effort. See, we have to, and it's a beautiful thing, and this is what it means when he talks about contribution. See, David will bring his giftings. I will bring my giftings. Joan will bring her giftings. Ken will bring his giftings. You know, everybody, my wife and everyone, you know, and when we bring all them together, it produces a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. See, same with the music as well. If Andrew's playing G chord and I'm playing C chord, we're done. What's wrong is, you know, we might be doing the same thing, but we've got different notes on. It's everywhere, you know, and even when we're producing music, every one of us, we're following the same timing. All of our eyes, we're looking at Andrew. Whatever he does, we're following. You know, and that is the picture of church. That is the picture of church. We are following Jesus in everything that we do. H stands for humility. U stands for unity. G stands for grace. Grace, amen? Amen. We love grace, but we also love the grace of God, amen? We love the grace of God. And grace means we are less likely to be offended. Please don't take offense, church. No. You know, let's not take offense. Let's be gracious to one another. And let's be quick to forgive. You know? Slow to speak, quick to listen, Book of James also highlights. And we have to intentionally force ourselves and make ourselves understand that not everybody is perfect. Amen. What they might be saying, they might not be saying to offend you. But when you receive it, you're receiving it as an offense. But they don't know that. It's a very challenging thing, isn't it? They don't know that they're doing it, but you're taking offense. And because you're taking offense, now you've got bitterness towards that person, and that person's trying to figure out what they've just done. And that person still hasn't got a clue that they've offended you. But if we are less likely to be offended and quick to forgive, we will be less offended. We will be less offended. See, if Jesus was to take offense, my Lord, eh? But Jesus showed and demonstrated a life sold out for the call that was placed upon him. Because he was more fixated on the mission and what God had sent him to do. None of the other things bothered him. He is Son of God. And for each and every one of us as well, let's live with a mindset that every day is a new day. Amen. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. You might want to change your yesterday, but can I say this? You can't change your yesterday. But what you can do is you can change today, and you can change tomorrow. You can change the way you fix your hair right now. Some of the pictures I look back, you know, I don't know if you ever kind of do this, but when I look back at some of my pictures, I'm like, oh dear, man, what's with my hair? Oh dear, what am I doing with my face? You know, and everybody else, I'm looking at everybody else and they look wonderful. And I'm looking at me and I've got like real weird thing on my face or something. You know, my hair's everywhere, I look a mess, and I'm like, oh. But even though I try change that, I can't change that, although you can use different software these days, but you know what I mean? I can't change that moment. What, you know, I remember one of my friends, like, he was preaching, and he had a right big boger in his nose. You know, and the video camera is zooming on his face. You know, and how can I say, oh, you've got booger in your nose? You know, he's going for it. And when he looks back, he's like, oh, why did you tell me? And I'm like, how can I? Like, you've got a serious message and you want me to tell you you've got booger in your nose? You know, but it happened. And although he'd like to go back and change that event, he can't. But what he can do is he's like, oh, I'm going to forget that and I'm going to carry on, move on. Amen? And that is the grace of God for each and every one of us. We have to move on. The grace of God is like this. Whatever you've done yesterday, forget it. It's a new day. Move on. Move on. I love the grace of God. I'm so thankful to God for His grace. Without His grace, I'd be standing here. You see, grace is something that has been given to you, although you don't deserve it. Something that has been done for you, although you don't deserve it. That's grace. And mercy is something that you deserve, but yet you didn't get that. In other words, our actions deserved punishment. But mercy means that punishment is taken off us. And grace means that you live a new day with new mind, with new heart, new perspective. Amen. Humility, unity, grace, and lastly, strength. 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 Amen. Steve was speaking on this again last Wednesday, and one of his points was, let us consider one another. And that's what I'm going to say. Let's encourage one another. Amen. Let's encourage one another. When I say strength, I'm not talking about our own strength. See? The reason I say I'm strengthened when I come to church is because I know if I'm making a move, I have loads of people backing me up as my strength. See, our strength comes from the Lord, but at the same time, our strength comes from one another. You see, Louise, you know, I see her and it's great to see what the Lord has done in her life. You know, but I think Louise can testify that the Lord has been her strength, but at the same time, David has been her strength. You know, and it's the same for each and every one of us. So I can say, you know, there's been times where I can look at Andrew and I can say, Andrew has been my strength. There's been times where, you know, I look at my wife and, you know, my wife has been my strength. And she'll probably say the same thing to me. You know, but you see what I mean? Bearing with one another, strengthening one another in the Lord. And when Paul and Silas and Barnabas and everyone, they were doing missions work together, they looked at one another. Timothy's like, Paul's my strength. He knew that Lord was his strength, but he knew Paul was going to be supportive to him. Paul is my strength. And Barnabas and Paul, you know, Paul looks at Barnabas. Barnabas is my strength. See, strength. We together as one body, we are strengthened in Him. But as soon as we start to form this unity, that strength is lost. And I want to, you know, encourage us, let this body of Christ not allow any of the things of the disunity to creep in the camp. Because that spirit of disunity, it is not allowed in the house of God. Amen. It is not allowed in the house of God. It is not allowed anywhere in the presence of God. Amen. God does not operate in disunity. God operates in the unity. And to finish it off, I'm going to read this quote by D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody wrote this. I have never yet known the Spirit of God to work where the Lord's people were divided. Let me say that again. I have never yet known the Spirit of God to work where the Lord's people were divided. See, where there is unity, God commands a blessing. And over this last few weeks, we've seen tremendous move of God. And the reason we've seen tremendous move of God is because there is this real solid spirit of unity in the camp. And as we continue with that unity, I believe we will see great things happening. We will see amazing things happening. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit because they were expecting with one heart, seeking one God, and knowing that God had given them one commission, and they were expecting. See, they were all together with one accord. And when we expect with one accord, God pours out His blessing. God pours out His powerful, powerful move of His Spirit. Amen. Hugs, walking in hugs, humility, unity, grace, and strength. God's plan for us is this. We live as an example worthy of the gospel. That's through our speech, through our conduct, through our faith. God's plan for us is that He wants us to walk as new creation. And as we're walking in new creation, we speak the truth, we stand for the truth, we live for the truth. No more lying, no more sinning in anger, no more corrupt communication or gossip. And lastly, God's plan, He expects us to walk in hugs. Humility, unity, grace, and strength. In Jesus' name, amen.